and on the authority of God's word. So this week we not only sought God out of the necessity of our life, but also on the authority of God's word. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we didn't just seek him just out of need. It was also on the basis of our covenant. Yeah. Hallelujah. All right. This morning I want to talk about becoming an agent of change, a change agent. The word, the song was just about change. I want to tell you something. There is no advancement without change. In the Christian life, in the Christian walk, in our relationship with God, in God's unfolding plan for our life separately and corporately, unless there is change, there can be no growth and increase in advancement. So just set that right now. So if we're unwilling to change, if we're unwilling to grow, then we are, might as well just say, this is as good as it's going to get. God does not delight in satisfied children. You know what I mean by that? In other words, satisfied where I am in God. Yes, he wants us to be thankful. Yes, he wants us to be content in whatever state we find ourselves. But that's not talking about growth. That's not talking about advancing the kingdom. Because if that were true, we'd still be living back under the patriarchs, because that's where God started. If there wasn't any change, we'd still be in that system. But, you know, even God, even though he in himself is the Lord that changes not, his plan is ever unfolding, which means there's what? There's change. Isn't that right? The law came through Moses. Aren't you glad God didn't stop there? Say, well, you know, this is a good place. We'll just stay here with the law, which nobody can keep. I'm glad God didn't decide that was a good place to stop. I'm glad he kept going. He kept going right on out to up to where Jesus came into the earth. Aren't you glad God didn't just stop with Jesus coming into the earth and doing miracles and showing us God and everything like that, but he stopped short of the cross? Boy, we'd still been in a pickle, wouldn't we? So all throughout the scriptures in the kingdom of God, we see that that there is change as a part of the kingdom. But how many of you found out in your flesh, in your natural human nature, it resists change unless you're in some pretty dire situations. Isn't that right? Then we say, oh, God. Then usually we don't want to change. We want God to change our circumstance. Yeah, change every... Yeah, especially change them, Lord. Isn't that right? Change all this stuff and change them and I'll be happy. And that'll really make me grow if you change them. No, that'll make them grow. It won't make you grow. Amen. So we want to talk about being a change agent this morning. Turn to, just as a place to launch from, turn to Ephesians 2. The early church, and the church in its beginning was a church, was an apostolic church. And how many of you know that hasn't changed? Are you listening? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, well, let's back up to 19 to get the background here. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners, aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of God's household. Does that apply to us today? Okay, so if 19 applies to us, then 20 is going to apply too, isn't it? Built on the foundation, pardon me, of the apostles and prophets with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. Now, if you look, especially in the book of Acts, as the church is birthed and consequently as the church begins to expand and unfold and mature and grow, you will see that the church was an agency of change. Amen? There was change within the church and there was change brought about by the operation and power of the church. Amen? In other words, there was and with change came a confrontation, didn't it? It confronted the culture of the day. It confronted the attitudes and the values of the day in which they lived. It was confrontational. Because, listen, we cannot change until we are confronted. Because I don't even know I need to change. Amen? I mean, if you ask me, I think I'm great. If you ask me, I think I'm wonderful. It's all you guys that's got a problem. If y'all just straighten up, we'd get along fine. That's human nature, isn't it? That's human nature. But throughout, not only individually, but to change a culture, to change a nation. This is what God's called the church to be. And if we're the same, we're part of the same body, the same church, we're the same household, we're the same faith, we're built upon the same apostolic ministry and anointing and gifts of God in the church for today, then we ought to be an agent of change individually and collectively. We ought to be, as it were, thermostats and not thermometers wherever we go. In other words, we don't just register. You know, again, you can tell Christians that are thermometers and those that are thermostats. Amen? A thermometer only registers its environment. That's all a thermometer does. If it's hot, it's hot. If it's cold, it's cold. That's all it can do. A thermometer can't change anything. A thermometer won't kick on anything that will help cool or heat your house. All it says is, I'm cold. All it says is, I'm hot. And a lot of Christians, they are thermometer Christians because all they do is register what's going on in their life. This is bad. That's not right. This person's wrong. That person don't like me. Blah, 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 blah. You get around them, they're thermometers. That's all they are. I mean, you know, it's like you used to grow up in the country, you know, be pouring down outside and, you know, and mama, somebody come in and, you know, one of her sisters be sitting there and says, is it raining out? And I mean, you're just soaked and drenched. Yeah, hey, you know. There's no great revelation that a thermometer brings to us. It tells us it's cold, it tells us it's hot, but it doesn't change anything. And that's why Jesus said, you know, he said, I want you to be change agents. Change agents. That's what we're called to be. Now, we got to carry a certain type of spirit to be a change agent. Amen. Come on. It's a revolutionary type spirit. It is. It's a spirit of faith. It's a spirit of vision. It's a spirit that produces energy and motion. Yeah. Amen? Amen? It's not a... See, religion tells you, oh, be nice, be sweet, be quiet. Especially the world will tell you, be quiet. Listen, the world system, the God of this world, he doesn't want the church to rise up. He doesn't want the church to be a change agent. He wants, the God of this world wants the church to be silent. Don't say that homosexuality is a sin. Did I just say that? Don't say that abortion is a sin. Come on. There's a great quiet coming over here. You know, and not only those areas which deal with some very important social issues and cultural issues, but I mean even in our own life, the devil wants you to be silent. Just suffer in silence. That's what the religion teaches you. You know, you're godly if you suffer in silence. Don't you cry out for your portion. Don't you cry out to be healed. Don't you cry out for God to do anything. What's the matter with you? You in great? You ought to be glad. You know, you just fell out of bed this morning. Well, we ought to be glad we got up, but I want to tell you what. God's got more for us. And if I'm bound in captivity, then how in the world am I going to affect a change in my generation? So the first thing is we've got to rise up. The early believers were reformers. They were builders. They were restorers. The Bible says in Acts, it says, those that have turned the world upside down have come here. Would to God they said that about us here at Grace. Those that have turned the world upside down, they've come here. Those that turned Boynton Beach upside down, oh, dear God, we heard they're coming to Delray. Or wherever. Come on. I want us to look. There's a king. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. Uzziah. I want to look a little bit at him this morning because he was a restorer and he is a good type for us to look at. 2 Chronicles 26. And I want to share some things with you. Uzziah as a type of a change agent. Now, the word restore, we're going to read a couple of verses here in a minute. The word restore comes from a Hebrew word, shuab, S-H-U-W-B, and it means to turn back, to recover, or return. Turn back, recover, or return. Now, in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the place of his father, Amaziah. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored it to Judah after Amaziah rested with his fathers. Now, as I said, that word there, restore or rebuilt, it comes from that Hebrew word. It means to turn back. It means to recover or return. And there are truths and there are attitudes that have been lost in the church that need to be restored. If we are going to be agents of change, we must first allow the Spirit of God to change us. That's what this week has been a lot about. And through the change wrought in us, begins to make us, position us to be a change agent. Changing attitudes within us. Changing perspectives within us. Changing priorities within us. Amen? So that we're no longer living for our own self, living to make a living, living to pay the bills, but all of a sudden the kingdom of God, the perishing of souls, becomes uppermost and paramount in us, and all that we do revolves around it instead of it just being something on the peripheral. Well, if I got time, I'll pray. If I got time, I'll read the word. If I got time, I'll come to church. I'll participate in this. If I can afford it, I'll give. Come on. Those are not attitudes of change. Those are attitudes about me. It's about me. The word, listen, I believe this. The prophetic word for the 21st century is no longer going to be primarily blessing. It's going to be change. Instead of us seeking the blessing, we need to be seeking to be changed. And if you say, well, I don't need to be changed, you're in the greatest need of all because you're blind and don't know it. Amen? You need to be changed. Then in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jechaliah. You know what Jechaliah means? Would you like for me to tell you? I'm going to anyway. You know I am. It means this. It means God is able. God is able. Now you think about it. You know, if we're going to be a change agent, we've got to get this in us, just like Uzziah from early infancy. He got something in him. He got a truth in him that God is able. And when I talk about change, church, I'm not talking about us pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But I'm talking about us embracing the fact that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that is at work in us. So when we talk about becoming agents of change, I'm talking about in the power of God's Spirit, in the power of God's grace, in the ability of God. Listen, you may have tried to change some things in your life 1,000 times up until now, but I got good news for you today. Listen, you can become a change agent if you'll first recognize, just like Uzziah did, God is able. God is able to change you. God is able to change your circumstance. God is able to change your family. God is able to change your city and your nation. We haven't thrown our hands up and stuck our head in the ground like an ostrich. Oh, it's too bad, it's too big, it's too dark, it's too this, it's too that. We can't do it, we can't do it, we can't do it. You've forgotten that God is able. Amen. So if you're going to be a reformer, that's the first thing you got to know. Otherwise, you're not going to last long. Because you're going to get tired and weary. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to make what? All his grace abound toward you. So that at all times and all ways, you have everything you need for every good work. I believe this with all my heart, that we are still, you and I are still here for this purpose, to be a change agent. Otherwise, why not go on to be with the Lord? He says it's far better. Do we believe that, or is that just some more religious stuff? Amen? I'm not living down here to pay off a car. Dear God in heaven. If that's all your life is about paying off a car or house, I feel sorry for you. Because what is that? What's that going to do? Nothing wrong with that, but that's not my purpose. That's not my purpose. I'm not going to get all tripped up over that stuff. Isn't that what the enemy tries to do? He tries to bring in all this other stuff to muddy the waters, to cloud everything up, to get all this stuff. Now, you know, especially here in our nation, we got so much stuff, we got to rent out a storage facility to put it in. I drive my neighborhood, and I don't think there's three of us that use our garage. They can't. It's all full of stuff. They got boats in there. They got this, that, and the other. They got furniture. They got, I don't know what. Man, some of them, they got stuff. Man, it looks like a warehouse in there. I don't know what all they got. Well, we got stuff. And, you know, with the multiplying of stuff comes the multiplying of cares, because you got to take care of all that stuff. One of the big cares for us is, how am I going to pay for all this stuff? You can't be a change agent unless you realize God is able. Remember this, I do based on God's ability, not on mine. I say I can based on God's ability, not on mine. You can't look around and say, boy, if we was big as Brother Osteen's church, or if we was big as Calvary, or if we was this, or if we were that, we could do something here at Grace. Shut up that talk. We do according to God's ability. We do according to God's ability. We can be a change agent, and God has called us to be a change agent. And if we will get our priorities right, we will find the ability and the power and the resources of God flowing into this place and through this place to affect a change. It is good. Listen, this church that's built on the apostles. I mean, you think about the apostles a minute. Boy, I'm telling you what. See, we think, oh, I'd love to have been around in the day of the apostles. You might not have. You think I get tough sometimes. You ain't seen nothing. You ought to get in one of their meetings. Paul, I mean, he wrote him a letter. He said, when I come, he said, I'm going to come with a rod. Woo! We'd hire security and keep him out. You know? Isn't that right? He'll put no rod on me. They were men of purpose. They were men of calling. They were men that knew their God and were ready to do exploits. They didn't have any time for playing church. They said, there's new regions out there. There's new places. There's new things God's called us to do. New people God's called us to reach. And you know what? When things got tough, man, I'm telling you what, that's when they shone the brightest. I mean, they were at their best when things got tough. Bring on a line. Bless God, watch the anointing flow here.
That's right.
Bring on a circumstance. Watch God meet my need. Come on. Bring in the sick. Watch God heal them.
That's right.
Well, it doesn't matter. We encounter somebody bound with a yoke of the enemy, God will break it. Instead, we've reduced ourselves to just being an organization like the Lions Club or something. You know, everybody come and we're all nice and how you doing and all that. Is this all right, church? Listen. We're either going to do something or we're not. I want to, and I purpose to do something. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. You are changing us. You're changing attitudes. You're changing perspectives. You're changing priorities. God, I thank you. You are changing us. You are changing me in Jesus' name. Verse 4, his mother's name was Jechaliah. God is able. Verse 4, oh, hallelujah, look at this. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. You want to be a change agent? First thing is, you got to do what's right. We got to do what's right. In other words, we just got to live right. We got to live holy lives. We got to live right before God. And I'm not just talking about you going out chasing women and drinking at the bars. I'm talking about living right means that you don't allow worry and fear and anxiety and doubt and strife and criticism and judgmentalism and all that other isms and schisms to come in. We got to live right. Live right. He said he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. A righteous life that's pleasing to the Lord. You know, all this week, one of the things, you know, I want God to shine the light on is me. I've been praying, God, show me what all's wrong with Bill and Gina. And throwing Derek, too. No. Your stuff is your stuff before God. My stuff is my stuff. I got all I can do to handle my. I can't even handle my stuff. But here's the thing. We can't. See, we can get so numb to our present circumstance and state of spirituality that we can become like the Pharisees. Hey, we're fine. Nothing wrong with us. Man, I've been in the way 30 years. You know, they call that in the way. And my joke didn't go over too good, did it? Listen, let me just say something else, too. Longevity does not equal growth. That's a mistake we make in the church. Well, they've been in the church for 30 years, but have they grown? Have they grown? Are they stuck somewhere? Are they stuck in puberty? Are they stuck as a baby? You know, first time they don't get their way, you'll find out how old they are. First time you do something that don't go just right with them, you'll find out how mature they are. Come on. And again, how do we find it out? Mouth tells all. It tells all. Oh, man. That's why James says it's so important to get this thing under control, because, man, it can mess you up or it can bless you. So here's the thing. So when the anointings are the apostles, they lived right. You read their writings. I mean, man, they brought correction to the church at times. He wrote to the Corinthians, he said, you better straighten up there. He said, otherwise some of you are going to go home to be with the Lord early. Woo! They come in and they started holding back part of the offering. They fell dead. Woo! Come on. How many of you know that's in there? So we're talking about living right. You know, we're going to get to the change part, but listen, if I don't tell you this, the other part won't matter. Because you just come out of here with something in your head and say, oh, wasn't that nice? But I want you to understand, change, not blessing, is the prophetic word for the day and the hour we live in. The other thing is here, look at verse 5. It says, he sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. I just gave you read you the key of success. Just gave you the key to success. So what's the key to success in God? He said, as long as he sought the Lord. As long as he sought. What have we been doing this week? We've been seeking the Lord. We've been seeking the Lord. See, a lot of times we're just saying, God, bless my mess. God says, get some of that mess cleaned up and then I can bless. Isn't that right? See, we don't want to seek the Lord. We don't want to put the Lord first. We don't want to. We begrudgingly give our first fruits. We don't want to spend any time in prayer. We don't want to spend any time doing anything that God wants. Then we wonder why God won't bless me. Right. Talking about being an agent of change. First thing is we've got to change. I'm talking about God changing us. Amen. Changing some attitudes. Changing some priorities. Amen. Start seeing things the way God sees them. Start seeing things with the eyes of your spirit through the Word of God instead of looking around and judging by your natural thoughts and reasoning and the circumstances that you see around you. The Bible said in Isaiah 11 that God was going to anoint Jesus with a spirit that he would not judge according to the seeing of his eyes or the hearing of his ears. That's where most Christians are walking, the Christian life. But he said, I'm going to give him the spirit of discernment, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of revelation. Hallelujah. That's a whole different walk there, isn't it? So the first thing is we got to put God first. I said this before, but I'm going to read it again. Putting God first releases divine authority for success in our life and ministry. Putting God first. See, if I don't put God first, then everything is out of whack. See, if you don't put God first, it doesn't matter. If you're just going to give to get something back and God's not first, it ain't going to matter. That promise won't work for you. Why? Because God's not first. You know, we're not talking about pushing a button and pulling a lever and, you know, getting, you know, all the fruit to line up or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, but whatever it is. No, we're talking about a heart attitude change. to where we begin to embrace God. God is first, not just with our lips, but with our heart, with our attitude, with our actions. Amen? Amen. Now, verse 6 and 7. He went to war against the Philistines. He broke down the walls of Gath, Jabneh, and Ashdod. He then rebuilt towns near Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gerbaal and against Midianites. Now, I want you to stop there. Three things I want to look at real quickly in the time left. Three things if we're going to be agents of change. Notice what he did. The first thing is he says he went to war. What have we been doing this week? We've been going to war. Now, it's not going to stop with the end of this week of prayer and fasting, but especially this week, we've turned up the volume. We've turned it up a notch. We've intensified. I put it this way, in terms like we heard about lately, we've had a surge. We had a spiritual surge in the war. Amen? Because we went into prayer and fasting. So it was like a surge. We got like new boots on the ground, fresh boots on the ground, fresh reserves coming in. But notice it says he went to war battling against Israel's old enemies, the Philistines. They're still around. I mean, you know the Philistines are still around. We war against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Isn't that right? This is what we're warring against. So the first thing, if we're going to be agent of change, is you can bet on this, you are going to be at war. Now, in the natural, nobody likes war. It's uncomfortable. Amen. It's inconvenient. It's a struggle. It's an exertion. It takes up resources. Come on. It's a lot easier. There's a chance of getting wounded. Amen. It's a lot easier to just pull back, pull back, pull back, pull back. And, you know, and every time we pull back, we pray, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we pull back some more, come even quicker, Lord Jesus. You know, I wish sometimes with some of these prophecy teachers, they would tell you the whole story about prophecy. Where Jesus said this gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Then the end will come. If we keep pulling back, how are we going to do that? And if that doesn't get done out of the mouth of Jesus himself, how is he going to come? You can pray all the prayers you want to about Jesus coming quickly, but until we do our job, it's not going to happen. Amen? How many know God's got all the time in eternity? He's not in a rush. We found that out, haven't we? So, the Spirit of God is raising up those who have a conquering anointing. Three areas where we go to war. First, with myself. First, with my own life. Let me read you a scripture real quickly. This may have to be a two-parter. I may not be able to get through. Proverbs 16. Listen to this. Oh, my goodness. 16:32. Better a patient man than a warrior, and a man who can control his own spirit than one who takes a city. If we cannot have dominion under God in my own life, how is God going to use me to take a city? It's not going to happen. The first area I must conquer is allow the grace, the Spirit, the Word of God to make sure that in my own life things are set in order. In my own life, that my spirit is in proper alignment with God. My attitudes are in proper alignment. My motives, my priorities are in perfect alignment. Because he said, if you do this, he said, if you don't do that, he says, no use God sending you to take the city. Well, because first time, and it's going to be difficult. How many of you know that? First time you run into a little bit of trouble, you're ready to quit. Somebody says something mean about you, you're ready to take all your marbles and go home. Come on. You got to be tough to be in war. I said, you got to be tough to be in war. You got to let God toughen you up. You know, some of that, you know, criticism and some of that sandpaper people that you're around, it's to toughen you up. It's to toughen you up. You need toughening up. Why, God, you going to war. Not on a cruise. Isn't that right? The second thing is, the reason we have to go to war, first with myself, then with others. Pardon me. God wants to anoint you and I Once he's done something in us, then he wants to do something through us to what? To break the yokes of bondage off of other people. What was the principle Jesus gave in the Beatitudes? First, do something with what's in your... Before you can deal with the big log that you see. Isn't it funny, our perspective? Jesus was saying when this guy looked in the mirror, what he saw in his eye was a tiny speck. But when he looked in your eye, he saw a big log. That's human nature, isn't it? Jesus didn't say there was a big log. He just said that's what that guy saw. Come on. Oh, their problem, is big. My problem is small. But if God is going to bring us, we're talking about being a change agent. First, God's going to do something in me. Then God's going to do something through me in the lives of individuals. Then thirdly, the war is going to be in this, as he said, every place you put your foot, new territory. And Grace, this is where I want us to move this year, is into the level of new territory. Amen. Change in me, change in you. Then continuing to use us to help break the yokes off others. But I want us to go beyond that now, and I want to take the battle to a whole nother level so that what we begin to what? Take new territory. He said, wherever you put your foot. Yes. It says he built cities. Hallelujah. He didn't say outposts. He didn't say forts. He didn't say he put up a few tents. He built cities. So we've got a war. Some of the things we got a war against might not be so obvious. One of them, I believe, one of the big ones is passivity. Just we get into a place of passivity because we don't think we can affect change. Oh, yeah, now Pastor Dar's getting all excited up there, but, I'm not talking to you then. I'm talking to those who are listening. I'm talking to those that hear what I'm hearing. And, and that's one of the things there is passivity. We're going, well, let's wait and see. Wait and see, wait and see. We're going to wait and see. What if the Lord was still up there after Adam had fell all these years, saying, well, now, Jesus, I don't think it's quite right time yet. We're going to wait and see. I'm glad God didn't take a wait-and-see attitude. Amen. And he didn't want you and I to. And that's one of the things that we have to war against. That's why we need these times to intensify the scrutiny of God's Spirit and searchlight and Word in our lives so that we can see, are there areas where I've been passive? See, we want to blame the devil, but the truth is, the Bible says, if you resist the devil... Resisting is not passive. Resisting is active. I mean, Dwayne jumped up and put me in a chokehold. You know what? I'm going to resist. Don't know where I can get free from, but I'm going to resist. Bless God. I'm going to be kicking and clawing and scratching and doing whatever I can do. Isn't that right? But sometimes, see, we just learn to cope rather than conquer. God's called you to conquer. The anointing that God has for you is to conquer, not to cope, not to deal with, not to put up with, but rather to conquer. Amen? Absolutely. The second thing is Uzziah broke down the wall of Gath. The wall of Gath. Amen? That wall represents dividing walls, things that divided, demonic strongholds, division. It represents that. And you know what? God has called us as change agents to break down walls. Amen? Amen. Walls. Walls of prejudice. Walls of racism. Walls of doubt. Walls of strife. Whatever the walls are. They're demonic. It says he broke down the wall of Gath. Hallelujah. And listen, I want a wall-destroying anointing upon our lives. Amen? Amen? Yep. I don't want there to be anything in this church or outside this church or comes against this church that can separate us. Not from God, not from one another. I'm a change agent. And it's what we're doing is too important for our little misunderstandings to build any kind of wall between us. That is minor compared to what God's called us to do. I cannot be distracted by the little foxes. I must see the big picture in God. And I must realize that God has called us to break down walls in our city. Walls in our culture. He's called us to break down walls. And we cannot do that if we're hemmed in ourselves. If I'm separated from Gene, how am I going to break down a wall over here? I got a wall here that I'm ignoring, but I'm going to go break down some demonic stronghold. Listen, you're whistling in the dark. First, Jesus said, go to your brother. Break down the wall there. The wall of unforgiveness. The wall of judgmentalism. The wall of criticism. The wall of this or that. Break it down. Break down the walls of Gath. We're talking about being a change agent. Ephesians 4:7, you don't have to turn there, but here's the principle. You can read it later. With every assignment, God gives equal grace. This is why I say we do it in His ability, not mine. If God calls you to be a change agent, He's going to give you the grace and the anointing to do it. But I want to tell you, grace and anointing won't fall on you while you're just sitting back on your blessed assurance. You've got to get up and get active. You've got to get up and get involved. You've got to get up. See, and what we've been doing is listening to God. Okay, God, what are our orders? What are you saying to us? What is it that you want us to do? This is why I endeavor to get everybody that possibly can involved in this, because here's the thing. God's not going to speak 75, 80, 100 different things.
That's right.
He's going to have us all going in different directions. And the third thing, as it says, he broke down the wall. Then he built cities. And notice, he built them among and in the face of his enemies. In the Philistines and Ashdod. In other words, it's just like this. We're saying, devil, in your face. You say we can't? Hide and watch. You say we can't take the city? Hide and watch. You say we can't reach the youth? Hide and watch. You say we can't make a difference? Hide and watch. We're going to build cities right up in his face. You know, in Numbers 35, when God brought them in, God says, I want you to set up. And he said, these are going to be among the Levites. How many of you know the Levites were the priesthood? He said, among the Levites, he said, there's going to be cities of refuge. I want us to be one of those here at Grace, a city of refuge. Where people can come in. You know, when people were in trouble, if they could get to the city of refuge, then, you know, no judgment could be rendered against them. They couldn't be stoned. They couldn't be put in jail. Nothing could happen. No judgment could be rendered to them. All they had to do was get to a city of refuge. I want us to be known in this city as a city of refuge. You get to Grace, I'm telling you what, yeah, the power of God's there, the love of God's there, the forgiveness of God's there. I'm telling you what, those people know how to pray. You get there, it's a city of refuge. It's a city of refuge. It's a city of refuge. That's what God wants to build. That's what God wants to build, is a city of refuge. And then finally, verse 8. Turn back over there. Second Chronicles, let me get over there. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 8. It says, the Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. Now notice, his enemies began to bring him tribute. Too often it's been the other way around. God's people have been paying tribute to the God system of this world. And that's going to change. That's going to change. Tribute is regular payment to a conqueror. Now, the Bible, we read this week, the Bible says that God's called us to be the head and not the tail. Now, in that symbol of the head and not the tail, who you think pays the tribute and who you think gets the tribute? The head gets the tribute, right? The tail pays the tribute. And God says, I've called you to be above and not beneath. I've called you to do this. See, sometimes we get weary of the spiritual warfare. We get weary of the battle. But listen, I got good news for you. When you win, you get the spoils. I said, when you win, you get the spoils. Souls, lives changed, taken out of hell, populate heaven, lives changed, bondages broken off of people, people healed in their bodies, healed in their minds, marriages healed, the young people on fire for God. My God, what? Make the devil pay tribute back. You're going to pay it back in people. It's in people. It's in people. It's in people. Devil, you're going to start paying tribute. You're going to give up the young people. You're going to give up the children. You're going to give up this generation. You're going to give up those that are oppressed. You're going to start paying tribute. So you don't always be thinking money. That's okay too. But that's way down the list. People. What's God? People. Who did Jesus die for? People. What's the cross about? People. What's the kingdom about? People. Amen. Money's just a tool. That's all it is. It's just a tool. We use it, discard it. It's just a tool. That's all it is. But we want the devil to pay tribute. The word, here it says, he brought tribute to Uzziah and his fame spread abroad. Uzziah subdued his enemies. I'm talking about being an agent of change. An agent of change. Church, we can be an agent of change. All we have to be is willing. Not passive willing, willing. You know what I mean by that? I've been caught in that trap before. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm willing. I didn't get up and do nothing, but I was willing. You know, I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing. You know, those that are willing get in motion. Isn't that right? We get emotion with our prayers. We get emotion with our faith. We get emotion with our giving. We get emotion by listening to what God says. We get emotion with our obedience. You know how it goes. We get emotion with those things. We move out. And I believe God's got great things ahead for us here at Grace. Great things. You're going to be hearing about some of them in the process of time. Man, God's speaking to me. I've got some good things coming down the pipeline already. Amen. Of things God wants us to do to make a difference in our community, in our city, to be agents of change, to change you, to change me, to change our city. Amen. Amen. But I got news for you. Grace is not a one-man band. Amen. Amen. I am not a one-man band or a two-man band. Amen. But we are a band of brothers, if I can use that term, a band of sisters. We are in, you know, I got that term because you know what? You get in warfare and you get on the front lines, you develop a relationship real quick. Yeah. Amen. Doesn't matter. I don't care whether you're from the Bronx or from Alabama. You throw in the foxhole together, all of a sudden, we got a whole lot in common. Yeah. Isn't that true? Yeah. And that's what God is wanting to do, Grace. Agents of change. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to pray over you. I know my time's up. I got to let you go. Of course, not in a hurry. You're not eating, are you? You weren't until I said that. Now you're all hungry, aren't you? Hallelujah. Anybody's stomach been talking to them this week? Hallelujah. Did you talk back? Yep. Shut up. We've been fasting this week. The stomach said, See, I started talking even now. See, this thing's growling. It's growling. It's just like a roaring lion. Just tell it to shut up. Isn't that right? But listen, God wants to, listen, I don't want us to just mark time. As your pastor, I don't want to lead you in a way where we just mark time. I want us to advance. You deserve that. The body of Christ deserves that. I want to lead you that we advance, we move forward, we take territory, we take ground, amen, for the kingdom. You know, but I can't do it by myself. I can't do it by myself. All of us, the Bible says when Moses came out of Egypt, he said, all those whose heart God stirred, came and brought their gifts for the tabernacle. Isn't that right? And I'm going to pray. And I'm just want to, if you would just bow your heads for a moment. I'm just going to pray. We're going to go in just a minute. Father, I just pray right now. I just feel an urgency to pray this way. Lord, that everyone whose heart is stirred, stir hearts right now. Lord, if those hearts that this message resonates with, Lord, stir their heart now. And may everyone whose heart is stirred in like fashion, Lord, may they bring their gifts into usefulness, into active service for you this year at Grace. For you, Lord, for your kingdom, for the harvest that awaits us, for the lives that will be changed, for the glory that will be seen of your presence among us and through us, God. I ask it. I ask it in the name of Jesus. I ask it in the name of Jesus. While you've got your heads bowed, before I let you go, perhaps there might be someone in here, you've never made Jesus your Savior, your Lord. You've never turned from your sins, turned from your own ways, the Bible calls that repentance, and called on and put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior. If you would like to receive Jesus, if you would like prayer for that right now, would you raise your hand? I'm going to pray for you real quickly. Anybody in the room? I don't see any hands. Okay. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I've spoken what I believe is the word you gave me for today. Lord, I want to take this word to heart. I want to take this word to heart as your servant. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us will take this word to heart and we will listen to the Holy Spirit and we will follow hard after your plans and your purposes and your pursuits for us in 2011. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.